It's good to see you. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Even in my dullness of hearing, I could hear you. That's awesome. I just want to say, in case you haven't been with us for a little bit, I've been going through this series called Could He or Couldn't He? And I know that most of you know that because you've been here. But in case you haven't, I just want to give you a tiny bit of background. A month or so ago, I was referring to the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Lazarus dies. Jesus arrives in town. Martha and Mary both said the same thing. Lord, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. I mentioned that then because we've all felt that way. But what I emphasized that day, and this whole series really has been based on since, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, he's gotten back to Bethany, he's spoken to Martha, he's spoken to Mary, he's gotten to the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible said he wept. And the Jews that were there said two things. Those of you that remember the story or know the story, the Jews said two things. First of all, they said, see how he loved him. And the next thing they said was this, and this is what this series has been based on. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying? That's what the Jews said that had gathered around. And so we pondered that day, and I've been just kind of building on that ever since. But we have that same question. That's where we started this some weeks ago. But the reason I'm taking us through this, we have the same question. And we concluded that day, a month or more, or whatever it was ago, yes, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. He could have. But he saw a bigger picture. And when he is standing there at the grave, and he says, well, I mentioned already what the Jews said, and he says, take away the stone. Martha, concerned that her brother has now been in the tomb for 4 days, she's thinking like we would have thought, Lord, have mercy, he stinks by this time. And that's pretty much what she said. And his reply to her that day is the reply to us when we have those questions. Couldn't he have done this? His reply very simply to her and to us, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And that's the challenge he gives us when we've got questions, because we've all been there. We've all been there. Why, Lord? Why the cancer? Why the accident? Why the death? We've all been there. And it comes back to this. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? And sometimes the step, friend, is we've got to believe. Sometimes we've still got to make that step of I believe, I embrace Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But that's where we started. For those of you that have been here the whole series, I apologize for being going over that again. I just wanted to set the stage a little bit in case some hadn't heard that. Let me say this too. In no way, shape, or form am I implying God can't do something. Okay? I don't want to convey that. He can do whatever he wants, wherever, with whoever, whenever. But sometimes, in the larger picture, Some things are happening that are painful. And his reply is the same. Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's where we've got to get to. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to be in Jeremiah 18. And I realize I don't use the New Living Translation too much. And I realize maybe most of you don't happen to carry a New Living Translation. That's okay. We'll put it on the big screen for you. But I do want to invite you to open up the Bible to Jeremiah 18. There's a story here that I've been thinking about as I've been pondering this whole question. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying? As I ponder that whole idea, Scripture keeps coming to me, and Jeremiah 18 came to me week and a half or so ago, and I started reading it again and reminding myself what it said. And so I just want to share from Jeremiah 18 with you today. Part 4, could he or couldn't he? Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop, and I'll speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and I found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he, that's the potter, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again, and he started over. Now, anybody that knows anything about running the pottery wheel, you've been there. Yeah, I don't like this creation. I'm going to smash it together and I'm going to start over. That's what he did. That's what Jeremiah saw. Then the Lord is speaking again to Jeremiah. And he said in verse 5 and 6, the Lord gave me this message, O Israel. Now Jeremiah has got 40 years worth of conveying a word to the Israelites. And this is just one of those words. And so the Lord gave me this message. He says, O Israel, can I not do to you as the potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. In other words, I could force you like the potter has forced this lump of clay. I could smash you. I could reposition you. I could send the flood again and take care of all of it. We could start all over. And then I love what he says in the next couple verses, because he's got them thinking now, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? Can I not do the same thing? Then in verse 7, God says to Jeremiah, tell this to Israel too. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but here's a if and but statement, like an if and then statement. If I say this about a nation, that they should be destroyed, they should be torn down, but then that nation turns, then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. So he gives them these statements, and I'm going to elaborate on them in a minute. Therefore, Jeremiah, God says, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem, say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. Verse 12, it's the last one I'm going to read. But the people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. There's a lot to Jeremiah's book. I love the book. And when you've read through it a couple times, you start to realize the word of God to Jeremiah for 40 years was to his people, repent and turn back to me, or disaster is going to happen. 40 years. He started somewhere around 626 BC until the carrying away of Babylon to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 586. 40 years. Jeremiah warned them. Will you listen? Will you turn back to God? 40 years. This is just one little piece of that 40 years. But when I read this, I think of this, and it could apply to us today when you think about it. Could God have forced the Israelites to do exactly what he wanted? Could he have forced them into the temple and said, now worship me, just like the potter did when he saw that imperfection in that clay? He destroyed it, and he smacked it back down on his table. I'm going to redo it. Could God have forced them? The answer is, yeah, he could have. But God did not create these people, nor us, without choice. You've heard me say this a lot of times, friends. I'll say it through the next few minutes while we're looking at this scripture and revisiting it. We have to choose to follow Jesus. When he encountered the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, he invited them. We have to choose what we're going to do with the invitation. When you look at the parables of Jesus, I think it's in Matthew 22, he's talking about this wedding feast, and he's talking about the invitation. We have to decide what we're going to do about the invitation. And you know that story too. Most of them were too busy to accommodate or think about the invitation. The Israelites had a choice to listen to Jeremiah and repent and turn back to God or not. And according to verse 12, well, they said, don't waste your breath. We'll continue to live as we want. We have to choose when the call of God comes onto our heart. Am I going to follow Jesus? They had to choose with these warnings from Jeremiah. The children of Israel had to decide whether or not they're going to follow God and his commands or do their own thing. They had to decide, even with directives from Jeremiah and others. So back to my question, could he or couldn't he have forced them and kept them from their wayward idolatry and sin? Couldn't he have done that? And the answer is yes, he could have. But he gave them choice. What are you going to do with this directive? I know that when we think about biblical stories or we think of our own, we think about disasters, we think about tragedies, we think about all kinds of circumstances, whether it's around the world right now or whether it's your own personal disaster, and we think, if God could have forced them, if he could have done this, if he could have done that, then why didn't he? That's where we so oftentimes arrive. Why didn't God divert my disaster? Why didn't God make me obey? Why didn't God make us follow Jesus? Could he have forced us like the potter took the clay and completely reshaped it? Could he have forced Jim or any one of you to be obedient to him? He could have, but he gave me choice whether I obey him or not. And he did the same thing with the Israelites. Go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah, and I'm going to speak to you when you get there. And so when Jeremiah got to the potter's house, potter's shop, he saw that the potter was working at his wheel and he saw what he did. He took that potential clay jar. It was not turning out the way he'd hoped, so he simply crushed it into a lump of clay and he started over. Now stay with me because I'm going to make a point. Then the Lord gave me this message, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Now, the first thing we might think of, well, Jim, doesn't this verse imply that God can do whatever he wants to do for his people? Doesn't this imply that he can force them? And it does imply that. He can do whatever he wants to do. But there's more to this story. God is not happy with their choices. He's not happy with their behaviors. He's not happy with their idolatry. And in his willingness to be forgiving and wanting the best for them, God will remold the clay. He will give us opportunity to repent and change and turn to him. God will refashion us as the potter did the clay so that maybe we will change the direction we are on and turn back to him. God gave us the choice to follow him, and that's why he tells us what he tells us in verse 7 and 8. Of course the potter has complete control over the clay. Of course he does. Of course the potter can make whatever he wants out of the clay. And of course God can do with you and I whatever he wants to. But I don't believe this story is about forcing. I believe this story gives us great insight in the next two verses about what this is really about. Now consider Israel for a moment. Consider your own story, maybe. God said, if I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and that's what he was doing for Israel for 40 years with Jeremiah, he said, if I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but that nation renounces its evil ways, in other words, repents of the direction they're going, he said, I will not destroy it as I had planned. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? God gives us an opportunity to correct the behaviors and change the direction. He said, and he will relent of the plan he had for you and change when we change. That's what he said. He's talking about Israel. Because right now, for this 40 years, he's telling there is disaster coming unless you repent. But if you do, he said, but if you do, then that nation will not be destroyed as I had planned. And again, he's talking about Israel in the next verse when he says, and if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, that is what he had done with Israel. Back from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he called them unto himself as his own people, his own nation, and he said, I will bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. I will take care of you. So in verse 9, when he says, if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. God is saying to Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, I will change my plan for you if you listen to me and respond accordingly. It's like God is saying this. There are imperfections in this clay jar. So I'm going to reshape it. And I'm going to try again to make this jar like I want it to look. So maybe as I'm reshaping and refashioning, maybe the jar will turn out like I want it to turn out. It's like he's saying that to his people. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil, I will not destroy it as I had planned. Part of the problem in this story, I mean, when you think of the whole story, is the whole problem. The people replied, don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to live, stubbornly following our own evil desires. He gave them choice, and they didn't choose very well. Now you say, well, Jim, I would never do that. I would never say to God, well, I'm going to continue to live it just like I want. But sometimes our lives say exactly that when we're not living in accordance to his will. So let me get to the point because our time is running out. Twofold point today. God gives us the choice to follow him or not. And even after we have said yes to Jesus, and I hope that you all have, there are still occasions, because we have the freedom to choose, there are still occasions we choose poorly. Are you hearing me? Jim has chosen poorly from time to time, even after deciding to follow Jesus. Israel was God's chosen people, chosen by God, and they chose poorly. And there were repercussions for them when he had tried to attempt to bring them back. When we choose poorly, God may send difficulty to help us correct our direction. Why? You've heard me say this a lot of times, because he loves us too much to let us go on that path of destruction that we're going to on. That's why. He loves us too much. He loved them too much to let them keep going to self-destruction. He may send things that are uncomfortable to redirect us and put us on the course that he wants us to go. Point two. Couldn't God force us to behave? Sometimes I wish he would force me to behave a little better. But he won't. He gave me and you and the Israelites choice whether I'm going to follow or not, whether I'm going to be obedient to his word or not, or whether I'm going to say, like the Israelites, don't waste your breath, I'm going to do what I want. He gives us that choice. And the second part of point two, couldn't God have kept this disaster that was coming on to Israel from happening? And of course he could have. Of course he could have. But in hopes, in anticipation, that with that adjustment in the pot, in the jar, there would also be adjustments in their thinking and their behavior. And as is in the case in the potter and the clay story, Israel had been walking away from God. And God was simply trying to bring them back as a nation, refashion the clay, if you will. Yes, God can stop disasters, but sometimes difficulties are allowed so that we will return to him. I'm not saying your trouble is because you've been straying from God. You heard Casey say last week, and he's right, from the book of Job. Job hadn't done anything wrong, but we have an enemy. But sometimes, when we have wandered our own way, God loves us too much to let us keep going that way, and disaster will happen. In an effort to say, will you come to me in trust? Will you live for me completely? We have to choose. Sometimes the clay has to be reshaped. And if in that reshaping process positive change happens, God is glorified. Remember those verses that he said right there. Remember what he said. If I planned this because you're disobedient, because you're wayward, because you're idolaters, if I planned this but you repent, then disaster won't come. And if I plan this for your good and you ignore me and ignore my ways and ignore my precepts, then I will change what I had planned for you too. Reshaping of the clay. God gives us a choice at how we will respond to these difficulties. And he gives us that choice to draw us closer to him. He gives us that choice to draw us closer to him. And he takes us through the refining process so that we might be more like Jesus. I hope that's your desire, friends. That's my desire. Haven't always lived that way. But that's my desire. I hope it's yours, to that God would have his way in you. He's the potter. We're just the clay. He will mold us and he will fashion us to that place he wants us to be. And it's our choice whether we respond or not. We can reject it. We can say, like they said, I'm doing my own thing. I wouldn't suggest that because it won't turn out well in the end. He gives us the choice, will I follow Jesus? And so I just want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if that little song is kind of your prayer, you just want the Lord to have His way in your life, and you're not sure you've ever done that, said, Lord, have your own way. Take over my life. I'm just confessing all my sin to you and asking you to come into my life and take over. With our heads bowed now and our eyes closed, and you're kind of at that place, will you just raise your hand so I can pray with you and encourage you? Thank you. Others, are you just kind of in that place that God is speaking to your heart? And you're saying in response, have your own way in my life, Lord. Thank you. Let's just pray together. Father, you see the hands today. We're here saying, please, Lord, have your own way in us. We're here saying collectively, come into my life, Lord Jesus, and take over. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of when I wasn't listening. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and just take over. And Father, I just want to pray for those that have raised their hand, but really all of us, that our prayer is simply, God, have your own way with us. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die for us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to help us make better choices, to help us follow Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Word. It gives us instruction on how to follow Jesus. Thank you for all these things, Lord. Now we pray, have your own way in us. You're the potter. We're just the clay. Lord, we see disasters all over the world. We see disasters in our own lives. We just commit them to you. We just commit them to you. And if you're trying to speak to us through disasters, help us to always say, have your own way, Lord. Even though I don't understand the disaster, I don't understand the pain, I'm committing my life completely to you and saying, have your own way in us, O God. Thank you for everyone here. Go with them this day, Lord. And if they're still wondering in their heart, what do I do with all this stuff? What do I do with Jesus? Father, by your Spirit, draw them unto yourself and help them to know it's time. It's time by faith to give their heart and life to Jesus and ask you to take over and be Lord. So guide us this day and this week, Lord. And for the tragedies all around the world, we just commit them to you and ask that your will would be done. So go with us on this beautiful fall day and into this week, trusting you, having chosen, I'm going to follow Jesus. And with your help, Lord, and by your Spirit, and by the teaching of your Word, with your strengthening in me, I'm going to do what I can to be obedient to your Word, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And so go with each and every one today, Lord, and just help us to do that. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.